I'm reading to you The Christmas Heart, a children's story by Pam McDonald. Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. We have so many fun Christmas traditions, like baking cookies or getting our trees together as a family. By the way, I'm Maddie, and Christmas is just around the corner. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and my whole family, aunts, uncles, cousins, and grandparents, are picking out our trees at Goldenman Christmas Tree Family Farm. Everyone is looking for their perfect tree. My dad always finds ours first. He wants the tree to be big. Grandpa Mark always finds his tree last. He needs the tree to speak to him. While each year brings a new tree-finding adventure, last year's adventure was one I'll never forget. But first, this story started long before last year. I grew up in Elbertville, Minnesota, with two younger sisters and two younger brothers. Since taking care of our large family took a lot of time, my grandma Patty started coming over on Thursdays to help my mom with housework and us kids. Sometimes Grandma Patty would bring old wooden puzzles and tell us the stories of how my mom and her siblings used to play with them while we put them together. They had an old, musty smell that I loved. Sometimes we did a craft, like making beaded necklaces. Grandma Patty always added a red heart bead at the end of her necklaces. The red bead sparkle reminded me of her smile. For lunch, Grandma Patty would usually make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She always made a heart when she swirled the strawberry jam on the bread. I loved seeing that heart. Even as I got older and started school, Grandma Patty still came on Thursdays. She would get me on the bus in the mornings. In the afternoon, her sparkly eyes and smile greeted me when I got home. Life was great until it began to change. When I was 10, I started noticing that Grandma Patty forgot things, like forgetting to put jelly on our sandwiches or not remembering where Mom kept the knives. Other times, she couldn't remember where she put her car keys. The forgetting worried me, but even though she forgot things, she never forgot to smile. It made her forgetfulness seem not so bad. Eventually, I asked Mom about Grandma Patty's forgetfulness. "Oh, Maddie," she had said, "Grandma can't remember everything. You are older now. Maybe you could help her more." So when Grandma Patty came over, I made sure to make the peanut butter and heart-swirled jelly sandwiches. They weren't the same as hers, but she didn't seem to notice. And instead of her helping me make beaded necklaces, I made them for her. I always remembered to add the red heart bead at the end, too. I was so sure my help would make Grandma remember everything again. But Grandma Patty still forgot things. Even more things. Mom and Grandpa Mark started to notice. Grandpa Mark took Grandma Patty to the doctor. The doctor said that she had an illness called young-onset Alzheimer's disease. This meant that she would keep forgetting things. Eventually, she would forget me. I didn't understand how that could be. How could she forget us? Forget me? Grandma Patty still looked the same. Her eyes still sparkled. She still smiled. But I knew that she was changing. When I was 12, Grandma Patty forgot my name. Later that year, she hit her head and forgot how to eat our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. On a sunny day in late September, Grandma Patty's sparkling eyes and smile left us for good. I believed Grandma Patty was in heaven, but I wondered about a lot of things afterwards. Did she remember now? Did she make everyone in heaven peanut butter and heart-swirled jelly sandwiches? Did she miss me as much as I missed her? Halloween came and then Thanksgiving. Soon it was time to go to Goldenman's for Christmas trees. I didn't want to go. It would be strange without Grandma Patty, and I wanted to skip going this year. But Grandpa Mark said, "This is what our family does." So we all went. Once we got to Goldenman's, everything did seem the same. And of course, my dad found our tree first. It was a big one. I wish Grandma Patty was here. One by one, everyone else found theirs too, except for Grandpa Mark. It seemed like it was taking him longer than usual to find his tree. Just when I thought I couldn't stand the cold and the waiting any longer, I heard, "Found it! Over here!" We were all relieved. Uncle Patrick ran over with his saw and began to cut down the tree while the rest of us waited at the tree farm entrance. Suddenly, Grandpa Mark yelled, "Everyone, come quick!" When we got there, I saw it. The stump from the tree Uncle Patrick had just cut was in the shape of a heart. A red heart. No one said a word. Grandma Patty was here, smiling up at all of us from the heart of the tree. I believe she was letting us know that she remembered and was still with us. Goldenman Christmas Tree Family Farm let us cut out the tree stump the next day and give it to Grandpa Mark. I look at it every time I visit Grandpa Mark and smile. So that's the story of how the Christmas heart became the most special Christmas tradition of all. Uh-oh, Dad just found his tree. He is first as usual. I better get going. I share a smile with Grandpa Mark as we walk among the trees. Grandma Patty will always be with us. For a string of Christmases stretched taut over several years, my dear mother-in-law fretted over an unsolved holiday mystery. Baby Jesus had gone missing from her living room nativity scene. His whereabouts were unknown. The circumstances of his disappearance were vexing. Clearly, skullduggery and shenanigans were afoot. Who and what? Where and why? The integrity of decorating tradition and holiday decor demanded answers. Early investigation implicated the grandchildren as obvious persons of interest. After all, those meddling kids had been spotted playing with the nativity scene's ceramic figures. With all their monkeying around, surely those busy littles held clues to crack open the case of the wayward baby Jesus. But under intense questioning, the three Vandervelden children and their cousins admitted to nothing. They had all lawyered up, so the case went cold, and baby Jesus remained missing. And his tiny manger sat empty in my mother-in-law's creche for several years. Gathered around in adoration was the usual cast of characters, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise men, camels, cows, and donkeys, near perfection, were it not for the unsettling emptiness of the manger. The whodunit never did find its culprit beyond a shadow of a doubt, but eventually the baby Jesus figurine was found. One summer day, another household treasure, perhaps even more precious than the baby Jesus, had gone missing. Horror of horrors, the TV remote was nowhere to be found. A desperate search began immediately. Thus, flattened palms were thrust between couch cushions. Fingers blindly explored the linty nooks and crannies of overstuffed recliners. Thanks be to God, the lost TV remote was quickly recovered from its upholstered dungeon and returned to wireless entertainment service, no worse for the wear. And guess what else the search discovered? The missing baby Jesus figurine. All this time, by accident or intention, rather than being swaddled in manger hay, the baby Jesus lay deep within the sofa, nestled in a handful of spare change and broken kernels of movie time popcorn and the dried-out crumbs of salty chips and other savory snacks. Certainly not a very blessed place for the Holy Child of Bethlehem to bed down for the night. But maybe those dusty, musty places of our everyday living rooms, workspaces, and classrooms are precisely where we can expect to find Jesus. Perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised to find Jesus in the dark cracks and deep crevices of human brokenness. Jesus among the pots and pans. Jesus where you least anticipate his discovery. Yet Jesus precisely where you need the Savior to be. Jesus amid tears and grief, like in the sawdust of a heart-shaped Christmas tree stump. So also Jesus amid anxiety and fear, in the grimy waiting for the doctor to call with the test results. Jesus amid gritty worry and concern for the son, daughter, or grandchild struggling to feel his or her way into young adulthood. Jesus amid the helplessness of addiction, the cruelty of bullies, the insecurity of food or housing. Jesus amid the terror of war and rumors of war. Jesus amid senseless violence and needless bloodshed, both foreign and domestic. It is far too tempting to move on from Christmas and return to our normal ways of living, to languish without hope in the sin and heartache that often plagues our days. It is far too easy to leave Jesus in the manger as this cuddly little baby and expect nothing more. Indeed, everyone loves a baby, but no longer is Jesus a baby lying in a manger. No longer a humble carpenter working in his shop, no longer walking in sandals along the shores of Galilee. Nor does Jesus linger on a cross or loiter in a tomb. The once baby Jesus now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And Jesus through his Spirit also abides smack dab in the middle of our worst times and grubbiest places. In the end, I think my frustrated mother-in-law was onto something in her quite faithful displays of manger scenes without the baby Jesus. All our cherished nativity scenes should feature an empty manger, because the manger is not where we need Jesus to be. So let every heart prepare him room. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.